Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for today, Monday, August the 4th, 2008. You have arrived at the one place where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and I'm really excited to have you today, not only because I have a great guest, but also because it's the day before me and several of my colleagues sort of storm a little bit on Capitol Hill to talk about our position with respect to the FDA Globalization Act of 2008. If you haven't read our petition and watched our video, we encourage you to head on over to the Indie Business Blog at indiebusinessblog.com. Click on the category for the FDA Globalization Act of 2008. Watch the video, sign the petition, and by leaving your comment and leave your name, your city, state, and your zip, and let us know what you think so that we can speak for you tomorrow on Capitol Hill and also following, because this is not going to be our last trip. This is just our first trip. This act is really gaining steam on Capitol Hill, as you know. Check any newspaper these days, and it is all over because the FDA is crying out for help, and they really don't know what needs to be done in order to make sure that the regulators understand how our industry works and what needs to be done to make sure that consumers are protected, which is, of course, our paramount interest. So head on over to Indie Business Blog and take a look at what we're doing on your behalf on Capitol Hill and at the FDA tomorrow. Today, I've got a wonderful guest. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to be talking about the new rules of marketing and PR. My guest today is, in fact, the author of a book with that title. His name is David Merriman Scott, and this book is just, it's like a manual for any small business owner who needs to understand how the media works and how you can use new technology tools to promote your business, expand your customer base, and most importantly, communicate directly with the buyers of your products and services. David Merriman Scott, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Hey, thanks, Donna Maria. It's great to be here.
So, David, tell me a little bit about how you got into this area. Do you have a professional background in PR that kind of moved you over into doing what you're doing now?
My first job was on a bond trading desk and in New York City, actually in the World Trade Center, believe it or not. And we used online information every single minute to do our jobs. And at that time, was way before the internet. This was in the mid-1980s. I totally understood how people could use online information to do business. And then after that, I took a job as Asia Marketing Director for Knight Ridder, which at the time was the second largest newspaper company in the United States, owned papers like the Detroit Free Press, the Miami Herald, the Philadelphia Inquirer, San Jose Mercury News. And I was a marketing guy at a content company, and we were doing, again, electronic content. So I had a sense of how information was used by working on a trading floor. Then I had a sense of how to market and sell information from the experience at Knight Ridder. And when I went out on my own in 2002, I basically combined my understanding of marketing and public relations with my, and besides that, I was also vice president of marketing of a couple of technology companies. I combined that experience with marketing and public relations with a complete understanding of online information and online content, and I realized that to be successful online with marketing, you have to think differently, and it's all about the content. And when I first started talking about these ideas, people thought I was nuts, and then realized I had to get a book out to really get the ideas into the marketplace. And the book has been out since June of last year, so about 14 months now, and it's really done extremely well. It's been a bestseller in the marketing and the public relations categories. And the thing that amazes me the most is it's a global phenomenon. It's currently being translated into 19 different languages, which is pretty amazing.
Exciting. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about how you use some of these new technologies to get the word out about this book during your writing and publishing process. For those of you who have a question that you might like to ask David while we're here this afternoon, he's captive for a whole hour. So this is a great opportunity to call your question in or your comment directly to him. You can do that using our toll-free number, 773-0355. And while we're talking today, I encourage you to visit his website, too, at davidmeermanscott.com. And there's a link there to his blog and, of course, for information about his book. So, David, tell me a little bit about, what is PR? Let's just kind of start with that. The title of your book says The New Rules for Marketing and PR. What exactly is PR?
Public relations it's a really good question to start off with, because public relations is very misunderstood by the majority of people, particularly people who profess to practice public relations full-time or those who work in agencies. Public relations is basically how an organization deals with its publics. And by its publics, I mean its existing customers, potential customers, partners, and other stakeholders, employees as well for that matter. And for the longest time prior to the web, the only way that you could really deal with your publics is through the media as your mouthpiece, through magazines, radio, television, newspapers. So public relations for literally for a century has been about how an organization works with mainstream media to get their information into the marketplace through mainstream media outlets like magazines, radio, television, newspapers. However, what the web allows us to do, and we'll get into this deep over the next hour, but what the web allows us to do is to go directly to our publics through the tools of the web. That can be websites, blogs, YouTube videos, audio like you're doing right now, podcasting, all kinds of different ways to reach people directly. So one of the reasons why the book's title is The New Rules of Marketing and PR is to really drive home the point that the way that public relations has been practiced in the past, while it might work for offline media, and it certainly is a good way to, if you want to get coverage in mainstream media outlets, it's simply not the best way to go if you want to reach people on the web.
So do you find that some people interpret the message of your book to mean that PR in a traditional sense is outdated?
I've gotten that. A lot of people do think that, who don't really know what I talk about, or who, who sort of take a real cursory glance at my book. I mean, the things that I realized is that to be successful prior to the internet, so to be successful in an offline world, you had to really focus on two different ways of reaching your audience. You either had to buy advertising. And I'm using a broad advertising in its broad sense. That can mean magazine, radio, television, newspaper advertising. It can be advertising in the yellow pages, billboards, direct mail, going to your local trade show, whatever it is. You either had to buy advertising, or you had to do the techniques of traditional media relations, which is working with reporters, editors to get them to write stories about you and to broadcast about you. I'm not suggesting that it's that those things are no longer applicable at all. In fact, for many businesses, you know, the yellow pages might be a good thing. Having a billboard on the side of the road might be a good thing, or reaching out to your local television station might be a good thing. However, what is different, and what I am suggesting very strongly, is that to be successful in an online world, to reach your buyers through the web, those two techniques don't work nearly as well as publishing your own content yourself and creating really interesting information in all of its forms that will be consumed by those people who are potentially interested in buying your products.
So is this good news for indie business owners?
It's amazing news. My gosh, we've been liberated. I mean, how cool is the fact that before you had to, like, spend a whole lot of money to get noticed, or you had to literally beg the media to cover you, and that was hard work. And again, I'll say it a couple more times before our time's up. I'm not suggesting you should stop doing those things and only focus online. However, how unbelievably cool is it that instead of focusing on those things when you want to reach people online, you can reach them directly. And it doesn't need to cost any money, and it doesn't need to mean that you have to have somebody else to reinterpret your ideas. You just create them yourself. It is probably one of the most significant developments for indie business owners that has come along ever, I think. I mean, because... And I'm an independent business owner myself, and I couldn't be where I am today without using the ideas that I talk about, that we're going to talk about today that are on my blog and that are in that book.
So let's talk about the mindset issue first then, Dave, if you think it makes some sense to start there.
Sure.
One of the things I encounter when I deal with indie business owners initially is, you know, it's all about the products and services. Their products are great. Their services are great. And that may be true, and usually it is, but how do you help someone who doesn't have a marketing background, who doesn't understand, you know, the things that you do about PR? How do you get them to start understanding before they even get to a book as great as yours, the detail that's in there? How do you help them understand initially this is the kind of mindset you need to have to promote your product when the story isn't how great your products are?
Yeah, so we can... come at that, Quinn. You're getting at the very fundamental issue. We can come at it from a number of different angles. The first angle to come at that question is, I'd like to ask everyone who's listening, how do you personally, both privately and professionally, how do you personally solve your problems? How do you personally research a product or a service that you might be interested in buying? And if your audience was live in front of me, I would ask them to stick up their hands when I ask the following questions. The first question is, have you answered a direct mail advertisement in the last couple of months? And normally, the answer to that question will be between 5 and 25% of a room. Have you, second question is, have you, in order to research a product or service or answer a question, have you gone to mainstream media, either the advertising or the editorial components of radio, television, newspapers, magazines? And that's usually between 25 and 35% of the hands. And when I ask people how many have gone to Google or another search engine to research products or services, it's 100%. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter what the group is, doesn't matter their age, doesn't matter their background, doesn't matter their job function, doesn't matter where they are in geography. They always answer that question 100%. Everyone goes to search engines. And the final question I ask people is, in the last couple of months, have you used some kind of peer-to-peer network to ask your friends, colleagues, and family members for advice about a particular product or service that you might be interested in buying, or a problem that you needed to be solved, and your network sent you a URL, either through email or Facebook or instant messaging or something like that, and then you went to the URL that your friend or colleague or family member sent you, and that's usually around 80% of the room. So what that indicates is that the web is where people tend to go most often and where they tend to go to first when they're researching something. You know, you think you got to buy something big like a new car. You go online and you poke around before you go into the before you go to, say, the Yellow Pages or to the dealerships. And that's just a remarkable thing for people to understand. So that's the first thing that I want people to realize, is that it's not just you. The whole world goes online first and goes online most often when they're trying to solve problems. The second thing, fundamentally, that your question I want to get to is that most organizations do what you described. They talk about their products and their services when they do their marketing. And that's what anyone who ever took a marketing course or read a marketing book, that's what they basically tell you, is you've got to dream up ways to talk about your products and your services, and you've got to talk about how they're better than the other guys, faster, cheaper, better, smaller, whatever it is. And then you've got to get that in front of people by advertising and interrupting them and coercing them to do something. The fundamental change that being successful online requires is that instead of being egotistical and talking about your products and services, what you need to do is start from the market problems that your buyer personas, I call it buyer personas, have, that your company can solve. So let's take a look at a real quick example of what I mean by that. No matter where I go in the world, I travel every week, I give speeches on this topic all over the world, and I stay in hotels practically every week, I usually check out the hotel website. And, you know, just check out any hotel website and you'll know what I mean. The hotel websites are exclusively about their product and service, which is hotel rooms and meeting rooms. And they talk about fluffy pillows, and they talk about tasty shrimp, and they talk about how there's a pool out back and they're close to the city center. But that doesn't do anything to think about what are the different buyer personas that that hotel serves, and what are the problems that those services are solving for people. So as an example, the independent business traveler wants to find a hotel room in a city that they're going to go visit, and they're looking for things like perhaps free internet connection and perhaps easy parking. And that's just one buyer persona. Then you've got, for example, the corporate travel department of a company that's located in the city that that hotel is. And they have, you know, 200, 300 people on an annual basis coming to corporate headquarters that need a place to stay. And what does that company want? They want to have things like centralized billing. They want to be able to provide a particular amenities for their guests because they're such a they're frequent users of those services.
So then you have to look at what exactly your audience is looking for.
Exactly, and a couple of other just because this concept drives it home. Then
and we are going to drive it home, but we have to take a break.
Okay, let's do that.
My show engineer is telling me that we've got to take a station break. So
and we'll come back and talk a little more about buyer personas.
That's right. Don't move that mouse. We will be right back. This is Indie Business Radio.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon talking with David Meerman Scott, the author of The New Rules of Marketing and PR, How to Use News Releases, Blogs, Podcasting, Viral Marketing, and Online Media to Reach Your Buyers Directly. And David is an award-winning online thought leadership strategist, and he has spoken and continues to speak all over the world about this topic. And today, he's breaking it down for indie business owners to make it really, really easy for us to understand and also apply in our businesses. Before our break, David, you were describing some examples of questions that businesses need to ask themselves about their buyers' needs so they can implement these new rules.
Exactly, because nobody really cares about your products and services. It's sometimes harsh for me people to hear me say that, but it's really true. What they care about are themselves, and what they care about are answers to their problems. And the example that we left with before the break is the idea of understanding who your buyers are, and I call them buyer personas, because the more you know about your buyers, the more you can tailor your online marketing specifically to the problems they face. I was using the hotel example and relating how most hotels are just talking about their hotel rooms, their fluffy pillows, and the tasty shrimp they serve in the restaurant, when if you're talking, if you're thinking about the problems that the buyer persona is going to a hotel have, you can break it down into multiple buyer personas. Another example would be a young couple who's planning on getting married, and they're looking for a place for their reception. Now, imagine if you had a hotel website that was then broken down into those three buyer personas. There's the independent business traveler, there's people who are planning on getting married and need a place for reception, and there's the corporate travel department looking for the best deal for multiple room nights. Now imagine how different their website would be and their online marketing would be if they focused on those problems. So for the for example, for the young couple who is planning on getting married, they could have links to the 10 best wedding bands in the area and links to their sites. And all of a sudden, it's not just about getting a room to have your reception, but it's about solving your wedding problem. And it really transforms your marketing when you think that way, and it makes it so much easier to create really compelling stuff that your buyers will find through the search engines.
And so, David, is it fair to say that one of the many problems that all of our customers have is there's too many other people out there selling what we sell that they have to sort through and deal with?
I think that that is actually an unbelievable opportunity. And the reason for that is because all of our competitors are going to be talking about their products and why their products are better. And that allows us, who think about it from the perspective of our buyers, to focus instead on our buyers' problems. And that just makes it so much easier, number one, to create a compelling product offering for the people we're reaching, but also to market it in a way that totally makes sense. I mean, imagine you're a real estate agent, and it's all about understanding the problems that people have. And sure, they want to sell a house and they want to get the most money for their house, but maybe it's about simplifying paperwork. Maybe it's about the fact that you can only do business at a certain time of night. I mean, all sorts of different things that you can find out about the sorts of people that you're trying to reach, and all of a sudden you can be a real estate agent that does business differently than every other real estate business does, and you can publicize that through your online marketing efforts.
And that was actually part of the reason why I asked the question, because buyers have so many different places to go, and applying the new rules, one of which, as you talk about in your book, is really connecting directly with your customer, gives you an opportunity to stand out.
Absolutely.
Most people aren't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think all of us have experienced the following thing. Imagine you're kind of looking around on the web for a particular product. And, you know, maybe you go to a search engine, you type in a phrase, or maybe you go to a chat room or a forum in a particular topic, or maybe you just ask your friends for some suggestions of websites to go visit. And you go to a bunch of them, and they're all talking about their products. And then you get to a site, and from literally from the moment you see it, you're like, oh, my gosh, this site, this company, this particular group of people behind this business are talking directly to me. Mm-hmm. They understand what I want. I want to do business with this company. And we've all experienced that. So I want you to think about that and how great that was, and how you're almost eager to do business with them and hand them your money, compared to the average site that's just a catalog of products. So
take a look at the sites that have that effect on you and translate what works for them that turned you on into your business.
Exactly. And what it really comes down to, we've said it a couple times, so we'll say it once more just for fun, is understanding the buyers who you're serving, mm-hmm. and not focusing on your own ego and not focusing on your own products. It's all about understanding your buyers. There's even some little simple things, like go to a site and count the number of times it talks about I and we, and then make a little mental calculation of how many times, and then how many times they talk about you and your. And that simple thing can show, well, if all you're talking about is yourself, you're not talking about the problems your buyers have, and that becomes sort of an egotistical style site. When the opposite's true, you're talking directly to the problems your buyers have, and you're like, "Wow, this company understands me. This is a company I want to do business with."
That's a great tip. Now, David, let's talk about some of the vehicles that are available for us to use. I know that the cover of your book lists several of them.
A laundry list.
Blogs. I know we can't cover all of them. I encourage you guys to get the New Rules of Marketing and PR because it covers all of them. This is one of the best books I've read on small business in a long time, David.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And also coupled with your blog and the other information at your website, it's just, you know, I have to wean myself off of it because I've been using it carefully. So, but let's kind of focus on a couple of things. Let's focus on wikis. I'm trying to pick some things.
So one of the things that I think becomes a little overwhelming for people is all of the things that we have at our disposal. I mean, there's blogs, which is just a website that's written by someone who's very passionate about a subject. There's video. Typically, it appears on YouTube and then also embedded in a site. There's audio content, which is what we're doing right now. There's photographs, images. All of these things are the types of content that you can create. And I want to make sure that people don't get overwhelmed and think you have to do all of them, because you don't. And some people are better, and some people and some businesses lend itself to be better suited for something that might be where you might generate some video content, some explanatory, exploratory video content. Other businesses or other personalities of business owners might be better suited for writing. I mean, personally, I write books, and so I have a blog, and I write a lot. Other people might be really skilled at photography, and maybe that's going to work better for you. And I think part of it is thinking about your own strengths and your own interests, and then trying to figure out what would be the best kind of information I could publish that will help to show that I'm smart, that I understand who you are, and that I've got something that can solve one of your problems, and not obsess about trying to get everything done, because that will typically lead to failure. You can't do everything. I don't do everything, and I wrote the book on the subject.
So it sounds like what you're saying is, don't start with, you know, am I going to blog? Am I going to do YouTube? Am I going to do this? Start with what the message is that you want to communicate and what medium works best for, and then you can kind of narrow down from there?
I think so. I think that typically works best. The best place to start is with your buyers and their problems, and the way to do that is you interview them. You know, talk to as many people as you can. What are your problems? How can I solve those problems? And then from there, you might hit on something that, oh my gosh, well, maybe the best thing to do is a series of audio interviews of my customers, and I'll publish those on my site. And all of a sudden, you've got a little podcast going, and it wasn't even very difficult because you're just interviewing your customers. Not that I'm belittling how difficult it is to do a podcast, but...
No, but you kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Content, and you get the information at the same
time. That's right, and because sometimes people just don't want to write. They don't feel comfortable with writing. They don't feel like they're a good writer, and so, well, great, maybe you can talk, can't you? Maybe put together some audio content, maybe some great photographs, all kinds of different things that can be done.
So let's do a little hypothetical
cut. Sure.
Most of my listeners, as you know, sell consumer products, and even more narrowly than that, a lot of them sell cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
They have websites, and, you know, sometimes it's consumers buying the products, sometimes it's hotels and spas buying them for their retail area. So let's think, in this hypothetical case, let's just say it's a manufacturer that's not really in the wholesale market yet, but is really just using the web to communicate directly with the buyers of their products who are going to buy them and use them in their home. What are some things that business wants to think about?
Well, think about first, what are you doing for the buyers? I mean, you're not selling them cosmetics. Are you making them feel pretty? Are you, and I don't know, because it's not a category of product that I buy, so I'm not a potential buyer persona for that product. But what are the problems that you're ultimately solving for those people? Are you trying to make them feel younger? What fundamentally, what are the things that you're trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's your starting point. And then what's really interesting about how you asked the question was you said many of the people might be selling to to consumers, but also perhaps to, let's say, hotels. That's two different buyer personas. Now, what's so interesting about that to me is that now you've got an opportunity on your site to have two very, very different focuses of content, and literally you have different links going to different landing pages, one designed for the consumer market and one designed for the buyers at the hotel who are making a decision on purchasing the products. Imagine then you've got another buyer persona, perhaps that you sell products that are designed for men or for teenagers. Those are different buyer personas, and what most people do is they get sucked into these sites that are so focused on their product that they forget that the product is bought by different types of people for different purposes. You know, and I'm totally just making this up because, again, it's not a product category that I know, but I imagine for someone who's a little bit older, they use the product to feel younger or to look younger. And for my, I have a 15-year-old daughter who's started to experiment a little bit with cosmetics, and she typically will use it to look a little bit older.
Right.
Now, you can't do both of those things with one set of content. It doesn't work. So imagine how different it would be if you've got a whole section of content for the teenage market that's utterly different from the set of content that you've got for the older market. And that's what's transformational around this type of marketing, mm-hmm. is that you're creating individual pieces of online content specifically for those groups. And by the way, if you do a good job interviewing the potential market and you understand what it is you're doing to help them, then you begin to use the words and the phrases that they use rather than the jargon that your company uses about its products. You know, we typically, and we all do this, I do this too, you fall back on your own jargon, your own ways of describing things, your own ego. But if you really, really, really focus on providing stuff and information for your buyers, you will then start to use the language that they use. And believe me, my teenage daughter and her friends uses an utterly different language than I've ever heard. But if you can catch that lingo and you understand it and you're producing a set of pages, perhaps some videos, perhaps some photographs that totally resonate with them, I mean, all of a sudden there's potential that people will then start to talk about you on their Facebook pages, because all teenagers have Facebook pages. And, you know, it can just take off from there.
It's interesting that you say that, David, because it sounds like part of the reason for the overwhelm may be that you haven't really focused on exactly who your target market is yet.
I think that's absolutely true of the majority of the sites and the majority of the content I look at. And it goes counter to what we've always been taught. I mean, you know, you learn about the four P's of marketing. I don't even remember what they are, but the first one is product. And then, you know, you're taught in school or in marketing books or by the gurus to figure out interesting ways to talk about your products. But I think that's a mistake, and I think the right way to go about it is to first understand the buyers you're trying to reach, and you understand the words and the phrases that they use to describe those problems, and then you create really interesting and compelling content around that. And that, I mean, I've used this word a few times too. It's liberating. It's so compelling, and it resonates so deeply with your target market that they're on the site going, "Whoa, really? Sign me up! I'm ready to buy some of this because this company understands me."
They're talking directly to me.
They understand me. Yeah.
I'm going to come back in a couple of minutes and wrap up with David, and he's going to share with us some of the best tools that he's found that most businesses, every business is different, but we're going to talk about the tools that most businesses can use to maximize their ability to connect directly with their customers. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. I want to let everyone know that we are so grateful to today's media partner for sponsoring today's show. Our media partner today is Essential Wholesale, and they've got hundreds upon hundreds of base cosmetics that you can use to start your own cosmetics business. And they've also recently launched the Label Picker, which allows you as a cosmetics manufacturer to pick your label, pick your color, pick your scent, pick anything you want in several of their products and manufacture as little as 7 of them. How easy is that? You can start your business. You can launch a new product without a huge investment. It's a really great tool. Head on over to EssentialWholesale.com to find out more. My guest, David Meerman Scott, today is sharing with us about the new rules of marketing and PR. And before we took our last break, we were talking about some of the actual tools that you can use to market your business and share information directly with consumers. And David, you say that there are 3 that people should start out with if they're just sort of starting to venture out in this area.
Yeah, one of the things that I really would like everyone to give some thought to is participating on blogs, forums, and chat rooms. They're all basically the same thing. And we don't need to get into the nuances of why they're different, but they're places that people congregate to discuss things that are of interest to them.
So go where your customers go.
Exactly. In some case, if it's a blog is typically written by one person, and then other people can comment. The difference with forums and chat rooms are that anybody can start a discussion. So think about are there blogs, forums, chat rooms in the beauty space, or in whatever it is that makes sense for your business, find those blogs, forums, and chat rooms. I know, for example, I live in the Boston area, and the Boston Globe is our big paper, and Boston.com is owned by the Boston Globe, and there are tons of forums that are sponsored by the Boston Globe that discuss all kinds of different subjects, and they're hugely popular with women, particularly younger women who have kids at home, and that's how they interact with their peers because they can't necessarily get out physically, and they do it online. The suggestion I have is visit those forums and blogs that make sense. You have to take some time to research them and find them, a couple hours, a few times a week to get going, and then you can scale back significantly from that. But participate as a full participant. Don't try to sell your products, but instead be someone who's an expert on makeup or beauty or cosmetics or whatever it is that makes sense that you're an expert on, and then you can make friends online, literally hundreds of friends online, and guess where these people are going to go when they need a product like yours? They're going to go to their friend, aren't they? And so it's a really great way just to get out there. Now, what happens with a lot of people is they realize, hey, this is kind of fun. I like this. That's when you might want to consider starting your own blog, but only if you really like that idea of sharing information through the written word. Don't start a blog until you've done that participation on other people's real estate first.
So, David, let me ask you this, because so many people, I have a friend who says her business coach tells her, don't let people should on you, S-H-O-U-L-D. Don't let people should on you. In other words, don't let people tell you that you should have a blog or should do this or you should do that. So let me ask this question, because if networking in that way or if socializing in the way that you're describing is so important, how can a person who says, okay, well, I really don't want to have a blog of my own, I really don't want to own these things myself, Can that person be as successful as a competitor just by using other people's tools?
Absolutely. I think people can be more successful without their own blog if they participate using these social media tools.
What do they have to have, though? I mean, is it just they have to have a website? I mean, you have to have some...
You have to have some kind of... I call it a virtual calling card.
Right.
You have to have some kind of online presence. It can be a really simple storefront, e-commerce storefront or something like that,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't need to be a really drawn-out big deal. But you want to have somewhere that you can use to point people to. That's your virtual calling card. I know some people who do that. They don't even have their own sites, but they do it through a really, really well-done profile in the chat rooms and the forums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a picture. Here's what I do. And I'm a 20-year professional in this particular area. This is my expertise. These are my interests. You know, I've got a family. I live in such and such a town. You know, that all those sorts of details. So you could even do it that way. Although I think it's better to have some kind of online presence, a website or something. However, I actually totally disagree with people who say you've got to have a blog. I think that there's only approximately 5% of people who should have a blog, 95% of the people should not. The only people who should have a blog are people who are so unbelievably passionate about a subject and love to write about it. Those people...
You have to have both?
You have to be really passionate about the subject, and
okay.
You have to love to write about it, because if you don't love writing about it, you're not going to do it. And if you don't have the passion, you're not going to be interesting.
So let's presume the passion is there.
Yes.
Which it normally is for an indie business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to also like to write. What if you're
really,
you really
do have to like to write, because,
okay.
You know, because I, for example, I update my blog approximately twice a week,
mm-hmm.
and each blog post is approximately 300 or 400 words, and it takes me maybe half an hour to 45 minutes to write each one. When I have a topic I want to write about, I'm excited about it. The blogs that stink are the ones where people say, oh my God, I've got to write another blog post. You know, I was reading Inc. magazine yesterday, and they said I have to have a blog, so I got to start one, and I really don't like that. Oh, look, the mailman's here. I'm going to stop writing my blog post and go out and get the mail. That kind of person shouldn't be blogging.
What should that person do? You said go to other people's blogs, participate in forums. Let's talk about forums and chat rooms.
Right. So just going on other people's real estate, that means you're not starting your own,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to other people's blogs, reading what they wrote, and then leaving a short comment. It doesn't even need to be more than a sentence or two. And then you leave your virtual calling card, and people can find you that way. That's one thing you can do. Or do something completely different, like do audio interviews. We talked about that earlier, or perhaps some little videos. I mean, what's the best way to use this cosmetic? How should I apply this makeup? You know, how much is the right amount to use every day? Let me see that, physically see that, and you can do that with a video.
Love that suggestion, David, if your company sells to other retailers, because in interviewing them, you are actually promoting their businesses, and what of your customers, your retail customers, wouldn't want you to do that?
Absolutely right. So I think that it's kind of like the way that you find your business. You know, what's your niche, the thing you really like? I think the same thing is true about online marketing. What's the part of it that you really like? Some people love the social interaction, so absolutely participate on the blogs, forums, and chat rooms. Some people love to write. Great, you should have a blog. Some people are more interested in interviewing people. You're the right person to do an audio podcast. Other people, you know, don't mind carrying a video camera around, shooting little videos here and there. So there's all sorts of different, or photography, or charts and graphs. There's all sorts of different ways to do this, and there is no right way. It's really what works for you.
So how would you answer a question from someone who says something like this? And maybe not how would you answer, but what questions would you ask them to ask themselves if they said, you know what, David, I've heard all this great stuff about blogs. I've got great products. Let's assume that. I'm very passionate. I keep up my blog 2 or 3 times a week I post. I haven't sold a single thing that I can track through to my blog. What am I doing wrong? What should I do? Should I stop blogging?
Right. That's always an interesting question. I think that, first of all, I would want to know how popular the blog is. And there's a number of different proxies for how popular the blog is. One proxy is how many people are commenting on it. And if you've never had anybody comment on your blog, or there's only been 3 people and all 3 of them were your family members, then you know that not that many people are reading the blog. You can also, another proxy is how many people are linking to your blog. In other words, how many other bloggers are finding it and saying, this is pretty cool, I want to link to it. If you don't have any people linking to your blogs and you don't have any comments, you need to rethink the way you're doing your blog because it's not gaining traction. And I would encourage you to, unless you just love it to death, I would encourage you to think about either changing it or even stopping it altogether. Because it's not generating the interest of people. I think that if you are getting people who are commenting and you are getting people who are linking to your blog, then you're obviously saying something important. And if you're saying something important and it's related to your business, you may not be able to track directly the people who are buying, and they're happening in the background. I would encourage you in this case, every time you get a new customer, ask them, how did you find out about me? Have you ever read my blog? That kind of thing. I also encourage people, if they do have a blog and it's not getting that much traction, and they think they want to maybe get some more traction in the blog, to just do some small things to promote it. Little simple things like at the bottom of your email signature, putting your blog URL. Linking to other blogs and leaving comments on other blogs is a great strategy. You know, my grandmother used to tell me that in order to get a letter, you have to write a letter. The same thing's true about blogging. In order to get a link from somebody, you typically have to link to other people and be part of an online sort of group of people who blog and link to one another.
What do you think, David, about Twitter?
I assume your audience knows a little bit about it. It's microblogging, or it's like sending instant messaging to a broadcast group of people. I think Twitter is an amazing resource because it's just this huge online community of people who are sending these really small messages to one another. And I think that for certain businesses and for certain people, it can be an incredible thing. I love it. And what I do is whenever I go to I travel all the time, give my speeches, and whenever I go to a city, I'll typically say, hey, I'm going to be, like for example, last week, I said, hey, I'm going to be in Philadelphia. I'm doing a keynote speech at the TS2 conference. And within literally 1 minute, somebody shot me a Twitter back and said, oh, I'm going to be there too. Would you like to meet for coffee? And all of a sudden, I've got a friend where I had none before. And I think that's how you found me, right, through Twitter.
That is, yeah. I had a guest on the show, and I started following him on Twitter, and he linked to you a couple of times, and I was like, oh, well, who's that guy?
Yeah, right, let's check this guy.
I ended up on your blog and reading about your book, and I think within 4 or 5 days I had a copy of it on my desk.
Perfect, exactly. And are you going to sell millions of dollars worth of product by sending out some Twitter updates? No. But you are going to end up with a wider community of people who know you are, a wider community of people who might recommend you. Remember when we first started the interview, I said that one of the most important ways that people find out answers to their problems is their network helps them to answer those problems. So if you said, you know, geez, I need to find somebody to help me do XYZ, and you send it out through your Twitter network, bang, you're going to get responses. And guess what? If you're on Twitter, you're more likely to be part of that response than if you're not.
And how wonderful is it that just by being yourself in different places, you can connect with people who you can help, who can also help you?
Exactly right. It happens all the time. And there's tons, you know, there's really fun stories about people. You know, a friend of mine arrived in New York, and he got to the hotel where he was supposed to stay, and they did not have a reservation for him. There was a screw-up, and there was a big convention in New York. There were no hotel rooms to be found. He sent a message to his network saying, help, I'm stuck in New York, I need a hotel room. 5 minutes later, someone sent a message back and says, oh, yeah, I follow you on Twitter, and I happen to be a marketing guy at a hotel chain, and call this number, and I've got a room for you. I mean, those sorts of things happen all the time.
Well, and it's such a great example, David, too, of how it benefits your business, even though it's not a direct benefit. I mean, that business person's business was helped tremendously.
Right, and not, and of course he made a sale of one room night. But
yes.
what did he get out of that? Now I tell that story a lot. I'm putting that story in my new book that's coming out in March of next year, and all of a sudden, you know, potentially tens of thousands of people are going to hear about that one little incident. And all it took literally a minute, because these things are only one, these Twitter updates are only one sentence long.
Amazing.
So it took them probably 1 minute to do that.
Amazing. Well, David, I know you travel a lot. Tell us a little bit about where you're going to be and where we can catch up with you in the near future.
So I do a full day course on this subject. It's called the New Rules of Marketing course, and I'm doing it in Boston on Thursday. I'm in San Francisco in November. I'm in Washington D.C. in September, and then Minneapolis I think is November. And my travel schedule is on my website, which is davidmeermanscott.com, and my blog is www.webinknow.com, webinknow.com.
And your Twitter link is dmscott.com.
Twitter.com/dmscott.
That's right. Thank you so much, David Meerman.
Hey,
joining
my pleasure.
David, the author of The New Rules of Marketing and PR, How to Use News Releases, Blogs, Podcasting, Viral Marketing, and Online Media to Reach Buyers. Check out his website, davidmeermanscott.com. I will be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, but I will be back in time for next week's show, where our guest is Larry Weber, the author of Marketing to the Social Web. He will be here with me on August the 11th, and I'll have a co-host next week, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I will see you then. Please keep me in your prayers and thoughts for productive and fruitful meetings tomorrow. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.